Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Guy-Geesh of the Pettawitz Group, and welcome to the Demand Generation Educational Series. Each week in this 12-week series, we will be bringing to you an interview with a real live demand generation practitioner. Now, this is not about someone telling you what to do, but someone telling you how they did it. And in today's marketing environment, there is nothing more valuable than to be able to talk to a real live practitioner. I'm very happy to say that today's show is number 3 of 12. And today's guest, I'm so delighted to have here, it's Pam O'Neill of Breaking Point. And Pam is going to share with us how she not only worked with lead scoring, but also how it helped her have a very successful viral campaign. But before we spend some time talking to Pam, let's go through and do a little bit of housekeeping. So first of all, I see that some of you have called in, and I just want to remind everybody that this is not a webinar, and there is not a number you need to dial into to listen to the show. This is Blog Talk Radio, which means that it streams live over the Internet. So if you have called in to listen to the show, you need to hang up, go to the link in the email that we sent out to you, click on that link, and it will take you to our Blog Talk page, and you can just click on the link there, and you will be listening to this interview live streaming over your Internet. If you don't have access to the link, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio site. It's just blogtalkradio.com. And in the search area, just type in lead scoring or type in Pam O'Neill, and this show will come up. You click on the link, and you will be listening to this interview live over the Internet. So we'll be giving out a phone number later in the show, and that will be so that you can ask questions of Pam about her experiences. But there's another way that you can also experience the show, and that is through the chat room that's available. There is a chat button, and if you have not registered before, you will need to go through a small registration process. But at Blog Talk Radio, once you're registered to chat, you can come into any chat room across Blog Talk Radio, so you only need to do that once. And we typically seem to have a lot of people in the chat room and a lot of conversation going on, so I really encourage everyone to enter into the chat room as you're listening to the interview. And today's chat moderator is my good friend, Tom Kahana, so he'll be able to make sure that your questions are getting answered, as well as providing some of your questions to Pam so that she can answer them as well. Finally, today's interview with Pam, the Q&A from the live questions in the chat, and also two white papers are going to be sent out to everyone who is registered for the series. And all of this information will be coming out tomorrow morning for everyone that has registered. I'll also be including this week a couple of links to some of the things that Pam has published. She's quite prolific, and she also does a lot of blogging, and I will be including links in the follow-up email on Friday morning to all of this information. And this really is a great way to continue your education, and that's really what this series is all about. It's all about demand generation education, because if you think about where we are in marketing right now, this area is like being back in the wild, wild west. There's few rules. There's a lot to do, and there's a lot of learning that we need to be all made available to us. And so that's the whole purpose of this series, is to provide some thought leadership and some tactics and some how-tos so that as you take a look at your marketing efforts, whether it's online, whether you're looking at social media, whether you're looking at marketing automation, and most of us, quite frankly, are trying to tie all those things together, you will have some things that will help you do your job better. And again, if you think about it, there's probably only about 2,000 marketers in the U.S. right now who are really using a combination of all of these sophisticated tools. So there is a lot of learning that we all need to go through. So by listening to Blog Talk Radio every Thursday at 1 o'clock for the next, I think we have 9 or 10 more weeks, by getting access to the toolkit that we're making available to everyone. And if you're not registered and you would like to get access to the toolkit, All you have to do is go to my website, which is www.pedowitzgroup.com. Left-hand column, you can register. And that once you register, you have access to all of the assets, the live podcast from all of our interviews, the white papers, the Q&A. All those things are absolutely available for you. Okay. So, again, I just want to encourage everyone that has dialed in to hang up, go to the link to Blog Talk Radio, or go to the site, because this is Blog Talk Radio and it streams live over the Internet. So now that we've got some of those housekeeping issues and some of those basics out of the way, we spent a little bit of time talking about how you can maximize your learning experience. I am so delighted to introduce our guest, Pam O'Neill, Vice President of Marketing at Breaking Point, who's going to talk to us about lead scoring. But I have to share something with you guys before I give you guys a little bit more about Pam's background. I didn't think it would be that difficult to find someone to speak about lead scoring, because certainly lead scoring, if you have a marketing automation system, is endemic in all of those systems. It's one of the most basic features. So I thought, great, we won't have any problem finding someone to talk about lead scoring. It actually was quite a huge issue to find someone who could talk about lead scoring, to find someone who had taken it very much beyond the basics. And that is just another indicator for me of the infancy stage that this type of marketing is still in. So actually, I must have had three different people tell me, well, I'm not sure, but the person you need to speak to is Pam O'Neill. So I was delighted that she agreed to come on our show and talk to us about her experiences today. Now, let me share with you a little bit about her background. Pam is a mother of two delightful little girls with beautiful names, Elena and Zara. I just love those names. And she's also an innovative marketing leader with a very impressive track record of launching and growing successful B2B companies. Pam is currently Vice President of Marketing for Breaking Point, a network test equipment provider that has been recognized for driving record quarter-over-quarter revenue growth using new media techniques. Don't we wish we were all in that place where we could go and say, yep, we've got record over record growth in revenue. Pam is also often asked to speak at national conferences. She has co-authored two books and has won several marketing awards, including the Eloqua Marketing's Choice Award for Marketing Automation and Lead Scoring and Nurturing, and also Marketing Sherpa Viral Marketing Hall of Fame in 2007. So to say that she has a few credentials would absolutely be an understatement. She also lives and breathes and practices social media, and Pam has launched and co-authored four successful blogs. And again, when we send out our follow-up information on Friday morning, I will include links to all of those blogs, but they are Network Performance Daily, the B2B Lead, Breaking Point Labs, and also Buzzstream. And I'm not even through talking about her credentials, so let me share two more. Pam has co-authored Funnelnomics, an e-book about increasing the velocity of your marketing and sales pipeline. And I love the word velocity. I think as marketers, it's a word that we need to be paying a lot of attention to. And her works and her case study has been covered in a book that was recently published by Steve Woods at Eloqua called Digital Body Language, which is a must-read for everyone. So, Pam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm pleased to be here.
So, Pam, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your position and your role at Breaking Point?
Well, at Breaking Point, I am the Vice President of Marketing, and they brought me aboard about a year and a half ago because the founders knew that their target audience would not respond well to the typical types of marketing 1.0 techniques that we're all so familiar with, and they wanted to take a different approach to reaching that audience. And they had found out about my track record with using social media techniques, some marketing automation, and then, of course, viral marketing, and wanted to take that approach. So they brought me aboard about a year and a half ago. The company provides network testing equipment to network equipment manufacturers, server manufacturers, service providers, enterprise, and probably our fastest growing segment to the U.S. federal government.
Very interesting. And the thing that when you and I were talking in the pre-interview that I was so fascinated by was how Breaking Point was specifically looking for someone who had been there and done that with marketing automation and social media. Do you get the sense that more and more companies at an executive level are now reaching out and beginning to look at hiring people with your kind of background?
Absolutely, because it really is more than just a learned skill. It's a mindset, and there's a lot of trial and error, throughout the years. And so the benefit of that experience, is very important. I've tested and tried and measured and honed various techniques throughout the last, 4 or 5 years, and found out what works, what doesn't. And I also have the mindset that companies are looking for to approach that market. It's just a completely different way. You've got to throw away all of the lessons that we've learned over the last few decades about, typical marketing 1.0 techniques, and really embrace a totally new way of having a conversation with your market. And so I had experimented with a lot of these techniques in my last few companies. I do have a long track record of launching small startups and growing them into either large companies or companies that were acquired. So they in their search had stumbled upon some of the work that I'd done on the viral video and the awards, and decided to bring me aboard, and we set out to build a team. And I was very fortunate to bring aboard a gentleman by the name of Kyle Flaherty, who has a strong social media background as well. And so between the two of us, we've built an amazing operation here, a blog that is read by more than 10,000 readers a month. We've built in marketing automation so that we can automate metrics from the referring blog or referring content online all the way through to an actual closed deal. So I'm very proud of the organization and the programs, as well as the metrics and measurement that we've put in place.
I tell you, Pam, every time I talk to you, I'm just completely blown away by how far you guys have gone in the use, and also in how you knit all these things together. And I definitely want to spend some time during the interview talking about those things. But if I could, I want to come back to something that you said earlier. But before I do that, I would like to remind all of the folks listening to this Blog Talk Radio interview today that if you have dialed in with a telephone number, you need to hang up and you need to click on the link in the email that we sent out to you, because Blog Talk Radio streams live over the Internet. So that is how you should be listening to this interview with Pam O'Neill. If you don't have the link in the email that we sent to you, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you can search on Lead Scoring or Pam O'Neill, and then you'll be able to listen to this interview stream live over the Internet. You do not need to dial a telephone number. So if you dialed in and we get to the end of the interview, I will have to hang up on you so that we'll have room for callers to call in and ask questions. So either the link in the email or go to Blog Talk Radio and search on Lead Scoring, and you'll be able to listen to this full interview with Pam O'Neill. So, Pam, when we first started talking and you were talking about why you were hired, something you said really struck a nerve with me, and it was this mindset word. And quite often I find myself, as I'm traveling around the country speaking and talking to marketers, sometimes I feel like we're both speaking English and we're both speaking the same language, but we're not really communicating. So in your journey from a Web 1.0 or 1.0 marketer to today's Web 2.0 marketer, can you give perhaps our listeners some advice on maybe how they can adopt this new mindset that's going to help them be successful?
Well, you have to live it and watch and listen and monitor and understand how other people are doing it. And I'm a student of other marketers as well. Whenever I, in my private life, when I'm being marketed to. I think things through. I watch the techniques used, and I learn and I remember, and that's just part of my passion for what I do. So I recommend that you listen to the advice of listen first. So, you know, when I wanted to start leveraging Twitter, the first thing I did is I got onto Twitter and I started listening to people who were active, who had something to share of interest and who were successful, watched what they did, sort of mentally analyzed it, and thought, hey, I could apply that to, you know, the job at hand. And it basically that applies to everything that I've done. When I decided that I needed to build broad brand awareness and I didn't have a very big budget to do it, I went out and I looked at what other marketers were doing, and I analyzed various viral marketing campaigns and, basically just, walked a few steps in their shoes, understood what they were doing, and then that's how I shifted my mindset.
And I can't wait to talk about the viral campaign that you launched. I actually did have a chance to go take a look at it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So we'll talk about Pam's viral campaign in just a minute. But the other thing that I keep hearing you talk about is experiment, listen, experiment, listen, experiment, listen. Do you think as marketers we have forgotten how to experiment?
Well, certainly. And some marketers have a difficult time experimenting because of company policies too. So, very often when I speak at conferences, I'm asked, how do I get this through corporate legal? How do I get buy-in from executives to take this risk, to go viral, to go gritty and unpolished, because it may reflect badly upon the brand. And so I think that's a challenge that a lot of marketers have. They also are having to do a whole lot more with less, so they don't have the time that they used to go out and learn from others, and they also don't have the budget to go to marketing conferences very frequently to do that. But it's absolutely so vital to keep pushing forward. In my experience, it has always been biggest risk, biggest reward. The times that I have pushed the button on a marketing campaign and thought to myself, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Those have wound up being the most successful events ever, successful programs ever, and it's been well worth the risk. And the reality is, if you've ever stumbled, if you've ever, done one of these campaigns and maybe had something go slightly awry, it's okay in the end. It doesn't kill your brand unless you do something maybe like the Motrin moms or something where you don't respond well. I believe by handling the response, by being transparent and by being very frank and open, your audience will embrace you, and you can minimize any risk of things going awry.
I completely agree with that, and one of the things I like to tell marketers is as we talk endlessly about experimentation, and in the arena of marketing automation and social media, it is all experimentation right now. I often tell them, when you press that button, no small animals or children are going to be harmed in the process.
Right? Exactly, especially if you handle it properly. You're good.
That's the worst thing that can happen. Okay. Well, let's kind of go through some things in chronological order, and then from that we can actually, again, tease out some of the major achievements that I think our listeners can really learn a lot from. And let's begin with the question, why did you begin to look at marketing automation, which is basically the platform that allows lead scoring to take place? Tell me about that.
Well, so that I began my quest to automate my entire, function about the time of the first internet tech bubble burst, because that started this intense focus on doing more with less. And I've always been a startup person. The biggest company that I've joined to start a marketing function, or maybe reinvent, should I say, marketing function for, would be about the $60 to $70 million range. So primarily I'm a startup person. So when I go into these startups, they don't have big budgets, and it's usually a team of one, two, maybe three if I'm lucky. So for me, I always know that I have to do a whole lot of work, the work of a team with either just myself or a small support system. And really, marketing automation is vital in that environment. You've got to be able to triple, quadruple, multiply your contribution by a factor of 10 to compete, to survive, to get that sales pipeline full of qualified leads and drive revenue. And then more importantly, I'm a metrics fanatic. I'm an absolute fanatic about measurement and metrics, and I like to see what's happening at every stage, and marketing automation and analytics give me that capability. So many, many, many years ago, during the whole tech bubble burst, I was Department of One, and I was launching a company. I just had my first child, and I had to get a whole lot of work done, and I found Eloqua, and I believe I was one of the very first beta users of the Eloqua system. Brought it in, was able to execute on more work than I had ever imagined that I could as a Department of One, and really pushed, as most of the early employees of Eloqua will attest, I pushed that system to its very limits.
And I actually have heard them talk about those days. Buyer of Eloqua, but I think you bought it like at least a year and a half before I was a buyer of Eloqua as well. So when you bought Eloqua and you brought it in, and it certainly helped you improve efficiencies, helped you get more of the manual labor accomplished in an automated fashion. When did you begin to take a look at lead scoring?
Well, so lead scoring for a marketer who enjoys metrics is really sort of, the holy grail, something that we all, would love to be able to execute, kind of like a viral campaign, if you will, something that's like seems like beyond your capabilities, but something that would be so wonderful because it offers promises to everyone in the organization, streamline your marketing efforts, streamline the lead qualification efforts, and keep your salespeople busy on the hottest, most qualified leads. But it's also very challenging, and one of the things that I found in the technology industry is that there are only certain organizations that have enough of an understanding of their sales process and their target market to be able to automate at that level. It takes a really strong understanding of prospect behavior, a strong understanding of your target markets and which are more the customers that are more likely to purchase. So you've got to learn, understand, and document that before you're ever able to think about lead scoring. And then, of course, you've got to get buy-in from the other organizations, because very often, your sales team is either inundated with too many leads, or they're scraping by for whatever they can get. And, either way, to be frank, they want to see everything that comes through, and realistically, you really shouldn't be doing that. So I would say when I first started out with Eloqua, the product was, I didn't use it for any kind of lead scoring. It was a little early on that front for me. But as I moved to NetQOS, we had a very sophisticated demand generation engine there at NetQOS. That was probably the first organization that I felt was ready for lead scoring. And they were ready for lead scoring because the sales organization were very active users of Salesforce.com. So they had a rich database history of all prospect behavior prior to my joining. They had not really done anything with that database, but they had certainly captured it. So I was able to come into NetQOS and take a look at the marketing and sales activity over the course of a couple of years and say, okay, here's what's going on. Here are the target market segments that are converting into revenue more quickly. This is the behavior that I can witness them, witness, and then I could apply some scores to that, and they were at a maturity level where lead scoring would work for them.
So there's a couple of things that you just mentioned, and again, it's great talking to you and just getting this, you know, exactly here's how you did it. One of the things that I heard you talk about was documenting, and how do you go about the process of actually documenting what it might look like and getting buy-in from the salespeople. And clearly at NetQOS, you came in and you took a look. You didn't just look at Salesforce.com. You tried to understand the buying behavior of the prospects. So is that pretty much what you would recommend to a marketer if they were looking at lead scoring? I mean, what would be like the three or four steps that you would have them do if they were looking at beginning lead scoring in their company right now?
Sure. So what I did when I joined NetQOS is I just got busy crunching the numbers, you know, taking a look at, okay, this is revenue over the course of the last few years. These are the types of companies, you know, the typical qualification criteria. These are the types of companies who were, you know, converting rather quickly throughout the pipeline and contributing the most revenue. This is how they're moving through the website. This is, you know, so I documented the entire process. I documented which campaigns that had been undertaken over the past few years had contributed to actual revenue, not just quantity of leads. And what I noticed was that there was one event, each year that the sales team basically fed off of for the entire year. So there's one single activity that was basically driving revenue. The rest of the things that the company was doing were not contributing to revenue much, if at all. So, you know, that told me a lot about what needed to happen. Now, what I noticed about that, though, was that, you know, it was a rather large event, and I would say about 80% of the attendees of that event were highly qualified. Which is rare. So normally at trade shows, you know, they're very diverse. They're a big mix of types attending, and you're lucky if you get like 20 to 25% of the attendees to be qualified. Well,
yes,
in this example, it was more like 80%. So what was happening is with all the leads coming in from that, it was taking weeks on end to process those leads. And it was very clear to me, and by the way, it was also taking an MBA to do it, whose time was much better spent doing other types of more sophisticated marketing work like pay-per-click, advertising, that type of thing that would contribute to revenue, whereas processing leads, you know, would be a contribution, but that could be done, you know, in an automated fashion. So for me, scoring and automation was one of the top priorities there, in addition to obviously, you know, tripling our exposure and our visibility at that event, since it was already contributing to revenue. So once I documented, you know, the sales cycle, the market segments, I built persona on individuals so that I could get inside their head and figure out, you know, how they were using our website. I documented this, you know, deep understanding of the pipeline and the prospects and how they moved through it in order to give myself the foundation to begin a lead scoring project. And then from there, I had to build, of course, the project plans and the cross-functional team to get buy-in and hone the scoring process.
And Pam, I think what you've just described, again, is characteristic of marketers moving forward. So if you're a marketer and your job is squarely in the arena of demand generation, lead generation, being able to understand sales, being able to exactly what Pam did, come in and analyze the pipeline and build those personas based on buying behavior, clearly takes you into the realm of sales and the requirement to understand that. And and again, my background as VP, I was VP of sales for many years, Pam, and mm-hmm. when I started doing demand generation like you, it just made sense to me because I had that sales focus. And it just truly made all the difference in the world. So how long did it take you to do that analysis that you just described?
I'm trying to recall, you know, it's been several years ago that I did that, but I remember vividly spending at least a solid month really digging into the details behind what was driving revenue, what was, you know, converting, what wasn't, before I really got started on executing any meaningful programs. However, you know, that was just the initial understanding phase. You know, the lead scoring phase beyond that was more like a six-month process because it involved not only engaging with our sales team, but we had to have a lot of custom coding work from the Eloqua team to get this more sophisticated lead scoring system to work for us.
Okay. And so the thing I will say about Eloqua today, and we have many Eloqua customers, is that there's very little custom code that's required these days, hopefully. And many, many systems, you can do very sophisticated lead scoring out of the box. So there'll always be the situation where things are so unique, but they're just, again, there's a great genre of tools out there that help you with lead scoring. So 6 months to work with the sales team to get buy-in, to come up with, envision, and then execute a lead scoring program within the company. And then what happened after you magically turned it on, Pam?
Well, certainly when we turned it on, we found a few gotchas. You know, one of the early gotchas was that we did not quite understand that. So the initial goal was we knew that even in a B2B buying situation, that if you did not respond to a web-initiated lead within 30 minutes, you started losing conversion on that. So we wanted our sales team to be able to get access to any inbound lead within 30 minutes and get on the phone with them. Well, the initial gotcha was the Eloqua system took hours to process these leads and score and get them to the salesperson so that, you know, sort of undermined that initial goal. Now, I know a lot has changed over the years on that front and made it a lot easier and faster, so that's not necessarily going to happen today. But it's vital to get those leads to your sales team in the absolute fastest way possible. And
Pam, I love that comment because time and time again, research shows, and especially in various industries, that the faster you can follow up, the higher probability of a conversion. And you're right. Every 30 minutes, every 1 hour that goes by and that lead is not touched, in some industries you get 500% degradation of the quality of the lead. So, and again, I like you, when I talk to people like that, they look at me like I've lost my mind. But what a great story for you because you've actually done the research and you've actually watched how your leads are followed up on, so you actually have real hardcore statistics on that. I think that's great.
Absolutely. I mean, I got the same stares when I mentioned this. They're like, in a B2B setting? And I'm like, I'm absolutely in a B2B setting. In fact, things have progressed. I mean, this data is years old now, so things have progressed to the point. People want instant access to responses, information. You know, click-to-chat is becoming more popular. You know, they want someone to get back to them right away, and when they do, it moves through the pipeline much, much more quickly than it would if you spent days because they get distracted, they get off on other things. And so, you know, I'm very much attuned to that real-time desire for response and try to get, you know, our sales people on the phone with these guys the minute that they respond. And, of course, at Breaking Point, we have a smaller target market, and we've got it set up so that we can do that. And it really does pay dividends, especially if you're using a lot of social marketing, social media type tools. I mean, look at the Twitter example. Those people are, you know, online Twittering, and when they tweet, they want a response right away. You know, it's become even more real time.
Absolutely. We just closed a significant piece of business based on a Twitter stream that someone introduced us to like 45 days ago. So
absolutely.
Twittering, it's top of mind. That is what they're talking about. And again, the value of lead scoring when set up properly is that when there's an immediate need to take action, that alert or that email can go straight to sales instantly, and sales can take a look at the activity, find out what they were doing, and pick up the phone and get engaged with them right away. And especially, I think, in this market, the faster you can follow with someone who has raised their hand, you know, the higher probability of the deal. Because if they're shopping, if you don't respond to them, they just go on to the next website, because that is so very, very, very easy. Well, I want to move into, so you had your lead scoring set up, and it was turned on, but I believe at the same time you were also doing a viral campaign. So why don't you tell us about that and really kind of tell us how those things got married together and what you called, I believe, the happy accident.
Right, right. So when I refer to that, what I mean is, so we, as I mentioned, I had determined the one event each year that basically drove the pipeline, and I obviously said, well, if this is bringing in millions of revenue, I'm going to do what I can to have a bigger presence and get as many of these qualified attendees into our pipeline as possible. So I believe I tripled our exposure at the event, and that brought in well more than triple the number of responses, which then required that my MBA pay-per-click genius take his time away from Google AdWords and put it onto processing these leads. And so that's what drove me to score, qualify automatically so that we could process those leads much faster. And what we wound up doing, and every year we more than doubled our presence at this event because it just continued to pay for itself, pay dividends. And so it got to the point where that event was generating so many leads that it took two people 2.5 weeks to process all of those leads and get them to the sales team. Well, that was 2.5 weeks that the sales team didn't have, they couldn't call on those leads. No one liked that problem. So it helped me get sales buy-in. We got the automation set up. We were ready to go, and it wound up reducing the time to process those leads to 2.5 days. So to give you an example of some of the numbers, shortly before I left NetQOS, that event brought in 3,500 leads that needed to be processed. And like I said, that was taking 2.5 weeks, and we shaved that down to 2.5 days, and we were delivering to the sales team highly qualified leads augmented with rich, actionable data that they could then contact and schedule meetings on within a couple of days, not several weeks. So the happy accident was I was busy trying to come up with an idea to build broad awareness. So our lead gen engine was cranking along, well-oiled. You know, we were growing at a rate of 100% each year revenue. Of course, that slowed down as you get into bigger numbers, but very quick revenue growth. We needed broader awareness, and so our answer to that was a viral marketing campaign. But what I didn't anticipate with the viral marketing campaign was just how much demand it would generate and how the people that had gotten excited about the viral video would pick up the phone and call our sales team, because in a B2B sales situation, usually you don't have the inbound calls. You usually have the inbound email responses. But I say usually, because in this instance here at Breaking Point, we do frequently have these sort of urgent requests, phone calls, and emails direct to our sales team. So that's why I stress that. I'm sorry?
Those are always nice.
Yes, they are wonderful. And so, of course, by measuring and watching this, you then – serve up those opportunities more frequently, which we do. But so as I executed on the campaign for the viral video launch, and there's plenty of information about that online, but I wanted to make sure that I covered my bases in the planning stage. So I did, while I branded it subtly for my company to keep it viral, keep it raw, keep it rough, I did embed numerous places to capture attendees' interest and contact data so that we would have leads and business from it. And I detail that in the case study. So what that wound up doing was it wound up generating somewhere around, and the numbers escape me at this point, but somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 inbound responses in a very short period of time. Not only that, but the phone was ringing off the wall. So the happy accident was we were able to leverage the lead scoring and processing system that we had set up for these other campaigns to quickly process through those viral video leads and get our salespeople on the phone with the qualified buyers quickly and weed out a lot of the junk. And I may have included some of the numbers on the qualification of the people who visited in my case study. I don't recall the exact numbers, but it's no big surprise that when you do a viral campaign, you're going to get a lot of junk leads. And
you want to
be able to just scour through those junk leads, get them out of the way so that you don't irritate your sales team with a bunch of junk leads, and you get them. Because let me tell you, talk about risk of embarrassing yourself, talk about risk of loss of credibility by executing on a social media or a viral campaign. This is high visibility stuff, and it's also very the sales team is going to scoff at it because they're going to say, how can your viral campaign really generate qualified traffic? So you are going to face cynicism right off the bat when you go to your executive team and say, I want to do a viral campaign. You immediately get the cynics coming out of the woodwork saying this is not going to work. So you have got to be able to execute on it in such a way that you don't burden the other groups, distract them with garbage, and get them only the qualified leads first. And I believe Eloqua has a methodology that we had used at one point as well that really helped us get our brains around how to make this work. And part of that methodology included some of their own market statistics that show just how much more productive the sales team is when they have lead scoring implemented.
Absolutely. I mean, just imagine, because again, you had a very, very successful viral campaign, and no different from the incredibly successful trade show that you guys were a part of every year. And clearly, there's got to be some kind of priority for salespeople to pick up the phone, because if they just get a list of leads, they have no idea how to follow up on those leads or in what order, unless they spend their time going out and doing research, which your MBAs were doing part of that. But again, the power of lead scoring is that it took care of that for them. And I'm sure that you were doing lead scoring on demographic data, so a director probably got a higher score than a manager did, as well as scoring on implicit behavior, you know, how they acted online. And even if all the calls needed to be made, at least the salespeople could call those people who were showing the most interest and were the most qualified first. Because at the end of the day, what lead scoring is all about is contributing to revenue. That's the main purpose.
Absolutely, and it's very important, the behavior to us, and even more important here at Breaking Point is behavior online. So one of the key aspects of our lead scoring program was high-value content. So you can tell based on people's, you know, consumption of content on your website how qualified they are, and we used that for our scoring.
So I think that's an area that I see a lot of, they don't get hung up with it, but I see a lot of companies will spend a lot of time when they begin initial lead scoring around the demographic data, you know, title, type of company, and that kind of thing, and they spend a little bit less time around the implicit or the online behavior. So, for example, Pam, right now at Breaking Point, tell me a little bit more about when you guys take a look at implicit. What tells you, and to me, lead scoring breaks into two areas. Demographic data, is it qualified? Is it a target account? And online behavior tells me their propensity to buy. So tell me a little bit more about your observations around the implicit behavior and what it means.
Right, so authority to buy and then propensity to buy, absolutely. So, you know, obviously you have to know your qualification criteria, your best prospects in order to do the upfront scoring around, you know, the demographic data. And that's the faster part of things, the easier part of things, provided you have that strong foundation in in qualifying your prospects, where at NetQOS they most certainly did. We are getting much better at that here at Breaking Point. That takes obviously a while to develop. Implicit behavior, the way I look at it is always by examining the funnel or the pipeline. So at what stage in the pipeline does certain content on your website matter? So at the early stage, and Razorfish just came out with a really good study on this very topic, where they look at, you know, what types of content influences buyers at each stage of the funnel. And if you're measuring your and look at, using your web analytics right, you should be able to determine some of this. But basically, what we find here is that our blog content is very valuable at both the front end of the pipeline and the back end of the pipeline. But other types of content, like, say, for example, test methodologies, are much more valuable at the revenue end of the funnel because they're very detailed and product specific.
Mm-hmm.
So on the front end, you're going to see people looking more on the educational, industry trends, high-level specification kind of content, just to get a feel for where you fit in the marketplace. But as you move through the funnel, you're going to see them laser focus in on the product screencast, the how does the product work, and in our case, a detailed methodology of how you would exactly use our product in a test scenario to get the results that you're hoping to see.
Kim, I think that's great that you guys have taken that approach. And again, it's something that we talk to all of our clients about. And it really just involves taking a look at that prospect behavior and how they buy. And as you just said, then you line up your content. You take a look at what they're interested in. They're kicking the tires when they're early in their buying process. You know, they're kicking the tires. They're just trying to get an education. But when they begin to get very, very focused on your, you know, dry as toast product spec sheet or your
exactly
price, you know, that means, wow, they've come way down that buying cycle. They're looking at that piece of content. So again, a rule of thumb is to understand that buying process that your prospects are going through and take a look at what pieces of content they interact with and then score, as you were saying, based on that, because typically if someone's looking at a case study, quite often that means they're in an education, but and if they download a white paper, great, maybe you'll give that a few points. But if they download your spec sheet, they're interested in a solution and it is yours, you know, that should get a higher score. So I think that's, again, very, very cutting-edge stuff that people are talking about, Pam, but, again, not a lot of companies are doing it, so that's great to hear. We have about 13 minutes left, so I want to ask Pam one more question, and again, I'm going to make her access to her Funnelnomics book, access to her her blogs, access to her viral video, which you'll get a good chuckle out of. I just enjoyed watching it so much. We'll make all that available in the email follow-up that'll go out on Friday morning. And again, if you're registered, you'll get that email. If you're not registered, you need to go onto our website to register, and you'll have access to all of these assets, and it's www.pedowitzgroup.com. And so I'm going to ask Pam this last question, and then we're going to open it up for questions from our audience, from both the chat room as well as from the the questions here. So, but what I need people to do is this. I see I have a lot of callers already. And if you have called in to listen to this interview with Pam O'Neill, I need for you to hang up the telephone. I need for you to go to the link that we sent to you in email and click on that link. So this is Blog Talk Radio, and it streams live over the Internet. And you can also go to blogtalkradio.com, and you can also, when you get there, just search for Lead Scoring or Pam O'Neill, and you'll be able to hear this show. Because what I'm about to do is I'm about to hang up on all of these callers because I need to have these lines open for questions from Pam. So, again, if you're listening, you need to hang up. and you need to call back in via Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to ask all you guys to do that. So here's my last question for Pam. And Pam, wow, there is a lot to learn here. So what advice to give to all of our marketers who are trying to figure out, you know, marketing automation and online marketing and lead scoring, what advice would you give them?
Well, so there's a number of things you can do these days to spin up on, you know, these different techniques. Number one, and there may be other methodologies out there that you know of, but Eloqua has a really outstanding methodology to help you sort of get into the right mindset of where you need to be from a lead automation standpoint. So it's basically an assessment where they assess where you are in your sophistication as an organization and then deliver to you steps that will help you move to more to higher maturity levels in the maturity spectrum. And so that is really helpful on a number of fronts. It allows you to see what you might, you know, how you might benefit from moving to higher levels of maturity, and then use that information to get buy-in from executives as well as sales, et cetera. So that's an excellent starting place on this topic. But then when it comes to, you know, marketing today, social media, web analytics, those type things, you know, I find Twitter to be my best source of immediate insight on what's important, because the information that people are sharing on Twitter has been vetted to a certain extent. So once you've figured out, you know, who are the thought leaders on Twitter, who are talking about a topic of interest by using search.twitter.com, you can follow those people and get instant updates on information that has been vetted thoroughly and is referred by someone who you trust. And so for me, Twitter's my best source of information on that front. I use some of the LinkedIn groups to network with other thought leaders who I respect and can learn from, and then experiment. I mean, that's all I can tell you is experiment. We have done some things here at Breaking Point that I didn't think were possible because Kyle, you know, stayed up late one night coding some JavaScript and was able to provide some visibility into our web analytics package via Salesforce. So he was able to, you know, Salesforce is a fairly open platform, and you can code together integration or work with an organization such as yours to help build something like that, or a Salesforce consulting organization to integrate some of these packages and get visibility that you never dreamed possible.
And I truly love your focus on metrics. Let's take a couple of questions now, Pam. Let's see who we've got. So 519-886, you're on the air. What's your question? Nope. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. 609 area code, you're on the air. What's your question? Okay, let's see if I can get this one. 609 area code, you're on. What's your question? Okay. Let's see. So if you guys would like to talk to Pam, you need to dial 646-478-5604. And again, it's 646-478-5604. And I know that Tom from the chat room has some questions, and I think I just hung up on you, Tom, so call back.
I've got those in front of me. If you'd like, I can read the question and answer it.
Sure. I'll just say we've got one right here. Let's see who this is.
Okay.
Okay. What's your question? Who do we have?
Hi, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. What's your question for Pam?
We're an organization that uses a single marketing automation tool, Eloqua, with Salesforce.com. But we've got a wide range of products that are targeted at different groups, and there is a lot of crossover between some of the markets we're targeting, and some are also separate. So I'm wondering if you have any tips or strategies as to how to score those leads for each product? Is it best to build, you know, a lead scoring system for each different product? Or is there another strategy that might work better?
Well, so at NectQOS, they, at the time, we had, let's see, I believe 4 or 5 different products. And the way we did that was not really product-focused, but customer pain point-focused. So, you know, by the nature of the way that the, you know, we were organized internally, we were able to provide information based on what the visitor visited on the page and how that related to our product. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And we get that question a lot from more sophisticated organizations, especially when they have a common marketing database, and then you've got multiple business units. In some cases, you know, it's just kind of like all over the place with one another. So that absolutely positively makes sense. So we've got a caller on the line, 617 area code. What's your name and what's your question, Tam?
Hey, Debbie. It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Tom is our moderator from the chat room. You got some great questions from our chat room, Tom?
Yes. A couple questions here. One person wanted to know, how does Pam follow, or who does Pam follow on Twitter?
Well, so I follow about 287 people on Twitter right now, but those are a broad mix of friends, industry experts, security experts, because my company's focus on security and performance testing, and then marketers. So from a marketing standpoint, I'm following people like Ann Hanley, you know, marketing prof, Aaron Strout, he's CMO of Powered. Let's see, Gary Vee, who gives me a little inspiration, Andy Beal. The cool thing about Twitter is you are able to go look at my page, twitter.com/P.O'Neill, and see who I follow. And then you can follow those people as well.
Okay.
And we also have a question. In terms of the brainstorming process, how long did that take to work with sales to get the lead scoring program in place?
So let's see, how long did it take? So let me just first say that when we embarked on the lead scoring process way back then, it was before Eloqua had this wonderful methodology that they have, and so we were kind of learning as we went, and there were no real guidelines out there. So I'm going to say that at least 2 months, perhaps 3 of the months for the project were spent, obviously part-time. I mean, it was a fraction of the work that we had to do was focused on this. But it probably evolved over the course of 2 to 3 months, building the documentation behind how we would score this and how we would work together to make sure it was a success.
Okay. Yeah, it does take a while. It's not something that you just turn it on and do quickly. And unfortunately, we are out of time. I've had so much fun talking to Pam, but we do have all the Q&A that come to us from the chat room. We will provide some answers to those questions. So, again, this is all about education and making this stuff more available. And, you know, thank everyone for their questions and also for their participation. Again, if you're registered, you will be able to get through a couple of things being sent to you tomorrow morning. Pam's interview, it's also on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be sending out the audio file. You will also have access to, Pam talked about Eloqua's technology and methodology. It's phenomenal. We're also going to be sending you how to do your own lead. Oh, we got 30 seconds. How to do the lead scoring workshop and a white paper and also a worksheet. But I really want to thank Pam for being our guest today. So knowledgeable, so helpful. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. Everybody have a great day. Next Thursday at 1 o'clock, we'll be talking to Joe Tenhagen about how to build online personas, something that Pam also talked about. Everyone have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.